We've been in a series from the book of Ephesians called Making His Provision Our Practice. How many know that Jesus has poured himself into his people?
That's right.
Come on, I said, how many know Jesus has poured himself into his people?
Yes.
He's given you so much. He's invested so much inside of us. But oftentimes we live like we don't realize what he's given us.
Right.
We live as if we don't understand and proclaim and declare and understand and walk in. So we need to make his provision our practice. There's never anything wrong with the provision, is there?
That's right.
Dad gave us, made us bazillionaires in the Lord. But we need to live the provision he gives us.
Yes, we do.
We've been in the series in the book of Ephesians, and I want to talk just a few minutes as we take a look at another couple of scriptures this morning. But I want you to travel with me to a rented house in Rome, where an aged apostle, a father of the Lord, sits with more freedoms afforded most prisoners, and yet he's awaiting trial and he's still not free. And he's chained probably by a wrist chain, to guards who change their shifts every 4 hours to watch over this most dangerous of criminals. For 2 years, Paul was able to receive visitors where he wrote some of the most precious letters we have in the Scripture, in the New Testament. Remember what they are? They're called the prison epistles, the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Paul's friends came to visit with him, and they would take time to minister to Paul. Among them being Luke and Aristarchus, a Jewish convert from Thessalonica. There was Timothy, a son of the faith. You read about him often in the Word. And Tychicus, who helped carry part of the offerings to the needy believers in Judea. There was Onesimus, our friend, who was a runaway slave. And he went to Rome and thought he probably would find himself lost and being able to hide among the 3 to 4 million people that were there in Rome. And somehow God ordained his steps to find himself to the Apostle Paul, who led him to the Lord. And so we have this little book called Philemon, as Paul, because he was Roman, and because it was what you had to do with Roman slaves, he had to send him back to the slave owner. And he says, now he's your brother. Receive him. Receive him, and if he owes you anything, just put it on my tab. And by the way, you owe me everything. You owe me your whole life. Paul's pretty clever, isn't he?
Amen.
So a fantastic letter, a fantastic study. Mark was there. You remember Mark. Mark took off on the first apostolic journey that they were in, and Paul didn't want him on the second journey. But by this time, he is a valued servant and friend and man of God in the Lord, who became so valuable to him, probably raised back up and discipled by Peter, who took him under his wing. Barnabas as well. Epaphras came to Paul. He was from Colossae. And Epaphroditus came from Philippi and brought an offering from the church in Philippi to support Paul. And yes, there was a man, we're going to come back and talk about him just a little, whose name was Demas. Maybe some of you remember Demas. He was mentioned 3 times in the letters of Paul. The first, warmly. The second, commentators say, there seems to be a bit of distance, as he mentions him, because he's in the same phrase as, with me is the beloved Luke and Demas. Not the beloved Demas. Just interesting. But the third time, he moved all the way out to a place of grief in Paul's heart. We come back to him. What were Paul's circumstances? His influence, church, was literally staggering. While he was in a rented house under guard constantly, this prisoner made the gospel known to the whole Praetorian Guard. How many remember who the Praetorian Guard were? 10,000 elite soldiers specially selected to serve in Rome. They had unusual privileges, undoubtedly. They had double pay, among other things. And they literally became so powerful over the years that the emperors had to court their favor. They were that powerful. And Paul sent the gospel reverberating. He led them to Jesus. Can you imagine being chained to Paul and not hearing the gospel? Can you imagine? Not a chance. This guy was going to hear the gospel, and 4 hours in, you hear Paul going, okay, bring the next one, next one. His influence even went beyond this group all the way to, the Bible says, all the rest, which means his reputation undoubtedly was known to the rest of the city. Amazingly, there's even a reference to saints in Caesar's household, remember? So the influence of this one man. What can one man and woman do for the Lord? Come on, turn to each other and say, what can you do for Jesus? The gospel penetrated deeply into the heart of this metropolis, and through Paul's example, the majority of the Roman Christians were more abundantly bold and able to share the word of God without fear because of Paul's examples. But it was chained. But it was a father in the Lord. He was reaching the last years, possibly even the last days of his life. He's thinking back on his sons and daughters in the faith. Philippians is probably his most joyful letter, written to encourage his really special people that he loved so much. Colossians, written to help them stand strong against error. Ephesians, written to help people stand strong in the provision given to them of the Lord. Philippians, let's visit for just a moment. How many remember the word sincerus?
Yeah.
Paul uses the word sincerus. He says, I want you to walk in sincere faith, and literally, that is a Latin word, and it means no wax. I want you to have no wax. Go ahead, reach up into your ear. No, nothing. No wax. Get the wax out. Paul says, no wax. What was that all about? Remember, the Romans overran the Greeks, right? And they decimated this place. And Philippi was broken down, and it became a Roman colony. And so as a Roman colony, there were statues and broken things that artisans had made. And the Romans didn't value them until later in their culture. They began to find value, and they began to go out and buy these things that were being restored. Statues and busts and great works of art. And boy, there were people that were fantastic restorers at that place. And the Romans would come in, and they would pay top dollar for those things. They'd take their treasure home, set it up in the hot sunshine in their garden, and guess what would happen? Shortly thereafter, it would begin to melt. Because unscrupulous artisans began to finish the holes with wax. It was so desperate, and you couldn't return it. You had invested a lot, and you had this statue full of holes. And so what happened is, later artisans came along and said, we don't want you to think that's us. And they began to stamp every one of their pieces, sincerus, no wax. And Paul lifts the illustration, and he says, as Christians, I want you to be sincerus in your faith. I don't want any wax there, nothing that's going to melt in the hot, beating sun. I want you to be the real deal. How many in this room are the real deal this morning?
Yes.
Church, are you the real deal before the Lord? Sincerus. I want you to be sincerus. And so Paul's pouring out his heart to his daughters and to his sons. And now this father in the Lord witnesses and writes to his sons and daughters in Ephesus. And he's given them fantastic perspectives. You know, the first three chapters are 37 times. You find the phrase, in Christ. Christ is in you. Christ in you. And you are rich in him. The untold provision of all that he's done. The next three chapters are all about, now that you've got him in you, let him out of you. You need to walk what he's given. You need to make his practice or your provision your practice. And so Paul then, the last three chapters, is all about walking it out. Husbands and wives, children, employees. And then as a final thought, this aging apostle who's going to be off the scene as a father of the Lord says, but there's one more thing. I want you to be ready no matter what comes. Because there's a lot of spiritual warfare out there. How many know you have an enemy to your soul?
That's right.
How many know the devil doesn't want the church to succeed? Come on. How many know the devil wants to divide families, divide churches, the devil wants to split people up? If you can have no victory, if he can neutralize you, then there's no dedicated gospel with a living illustration and example. Are you and I examples to Jesus?
Yes.
Turn to each other and say, you look good. Nice example. All right, so the aging apostle says, there's one more thing that I want you to do as we go into chapter 6. And last week we said, Paul the apostle basically said, I want you to suit up. I want you to wear the armor. I want you to smarten up. I want you to know who you're wrestling with. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not the people. It's the demonic spirit that controls the people. I want you to bind that spirit and release Jesus into their lives. So I want you to suit up. I want you to smarten up. And then he says, and I want you to stand up. Stand up for the gospel. Stand strong. And we're going to carry on with just two verses this morning. verse 13 and 14 of Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, repeating this from last week, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, reading from the New King James. And having done all, say it with me boldly, church, to
stand.
To what?
Stand.
What is it again?
Stand.
Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Number one, take up the whole armor and stand. Don't leave a piece out. Don't leave a piece at home. Soldiers, when you go to battle, don't leave your spear there. Don't leave your sword at home. Don't leave your shoes that you need to do marching with. Take up every piece of armor that God has given you. Don't get casual about this thing. Don't get apathetic about your walk with the Lord. Pastor Carl for a long time says, and I think I can get it right this time, what is it? Casual Christians become Christian casualties. Church, do you know how important it is to allow your heart to remain hot for Jesus?
Yes.
Come on, passionately alive, vibrantly alive. I love Jesus more today than I loved him 40 years ago. How about you?
Amen.
I loved him more than I did last week. How about you?
Amen.
And I loved him a lot last week. How about you?
Amen.
Is your heart hot for Jesus? Let your heart remain hot for him. Be prepared. Stand, he says. Having all the equipment, having got all the stand. And he uses this illustration of the Roman soldier, which was so vivid in front of them all. They all saw these soldiers constantly. Living right in front of them was this illustration. And then Paul converts this illustration into the spiritual armaments of God. Your loins, girded with truth. Now this surrounded the part of the body that provided procreative life. Your loins girded with truth. You need to protect your ability to impart life to other people. Come on, church. You need to protect your walk with Jesus. Guard your heart. Guard your mind so you can impart procreative spiritual gospel life cleanly to other people. If you tarnished your walk, come under the blood of Jesus, get washed, get clean, get free, but stay free and stay clean. Stand with the armor of God and let your life that you impart be clean. Because the world needs to see real Christians walking in a real Christian way. Someone say amen. How's your testimony this morning? How were you on your way to church? I see you in church. How are you on the way out of church? Hopefully, better and better. More real and more real. How is your living witness protect that ability to impart life? Now, the order that Paul goes in this section of scriptures, we're only doing two of them this morning, is an order in which the soldier would put his armaments on. You fasten a sturdy belt of truth around your waist. This belt was also called a girdle. It was about 6 inches wide. It was probably made of leather. And it held together the clothing underneath as well as the outer pieces of armor that were in place. The breastplate, the sheath for the sword. It may have contained a breech clout, an apron that protected the lower abdomen. It may have braced the back in order to give strength. And when the belt was fastened, the soldier was on duty. Say it with me. On duty. Ready to fight. A slackened belt meant off duty. Christians need to face every single day with a tightened belt ready and on duty.
Amen.
Pastor Kev, how are we going to face the end times? How are we going to know? Are we going to go first? Are we going to go in the middle of the tribulation? Are we going to go after? Guess what? I don't know. Be ready.
Amen.
Be ready. Be ready. You never know what kind of conflict's going to hit you today or what kind of issues going to arise in your family, what kind of issues going to arise in your children or your grandchildren. What do you need to do? You need to be ready.
Right.
On guard. Always on duty.
Amen.
Truth. The belt of truth. Now, interestingly, a lot of people today talk about your truth and my truth. Because there's a lot of stuff that isn't true. And people don't want to acknowledge it. Guess what? How many know where the truth is found?
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Thy word is what?
Truth.
Truth. If you want to know the truth, if you want to stand in the truth, you need to stand in the Word of God. Say it with me. I need to stand in the Word of God. But a slackened belt met off duty. I don't know if your family was anything like this. My stepdad was from the World War II generation. And I don't know if it was something, because I saw it, not just my dad, but others about the same era do this. Every time Thanksgiving would roll around, they had eating contests, right? Did your parents ever, you ever hear that? I used to listen to my stepdad say to me and my brothers, I bet you I could eat more than you guys. And he could. He was a small guy. He could put us under the table. This guy could eat, eat, eat. And there was always a time after he ate and ate and ate, you know what he did? He sat back. And he loosened his belt. Because that meant, bring on the dessert. You can bring on more, dear. That's gross. But that was the truth. They loosened their belt. There was a famous general in ancient days who told his soldiers, when you go into battle, the first thing I want you to do is cut the enemy's belt. Because they're going to have a hard time fighting, holding up their britches with one hand and a sword with the other. Church, don't get caught with your pants down.
No.
The devil of our souls, the enemy of our souls, wants to come and bring temptation, wants to come and bring warfare, wants to come and bring demonic attack, and we need to stand in the truth with our belt girded.
Right.
All of the rest of the armor flowed from that soldier being ready with his belt tightened with truth. Now the devil wants to twist people's idea of truth. Wash it around in the world. Wash it around with things that aren't from the scripture. Church, stay in the Word of God.
Yes.
Hide in the Word of God. And hide the Word of God in your heart.
Right.
What does the Bible say? Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 111, or 119, verse 11. Can you say with me, truth matters.
Truth matters.
Come on, Pastor Ken, you're too dogmatic. No, I'm just a lover of the Word of God. Truth matters. One of the final words the aging father of the Lord said to his kids in the Lord was, stand in the truth of the Word of God. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. The body armor was a large leather, bronze, or chainmail piece that protected the body from the neck right down to the thighs, protecting vital organs. And no soldier would go into battle without his body armor. And often it had a back piece too, protecting the body from hits from behind. However, the Roman soldiers would stand and move together, not breaking ranks, as they went into battle. And the history books will tell you the Roman soldiers and armies were nearly invincible when they would stand together. It wasn't another country that came to defeat them necessarily. They wanted from the inside out. Church, we need to not be rotting from the inside out. Right? And this is the breastplate of what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness provides a defense of the Lord. Righteousness gives you that sense of my confidence is clear because my conscience is clear. I've been washed clean from sin by the blood of the Lamb, and Satan seeks to thwart your righteous living. He wants to throw darts at you to tell you you're unclean, your past is bad, your present is bad. You'll never be a good enough Christian. You'll never be smart enough. You'll never be wise enough. And the Bible says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. You're hidden in Christ in God. How many know you've got Christ in you?
Amen.
How are you made righteous? By the blood of Jesus. How do you stay righteous? By the blood of Jesus. By staying in the Word of God. By loving Him. By not denying Him. Church, also, by not denying the gathering together of the saints.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So much more yeah. as the day approaches. What does it say? It says it right there in the book of Hebrews 10:25. Please, just everybody, read this out loud with me and see what it says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Stand in truth. Stand in righteousness. Stand together in truth and righteousness.
Yes.
When the devil comes to attack, what does the Bible say? How do you overcome him? There's a book in Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb
yes.
and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. Keep on. Persevere. Continue. Don't give up. Don't give in. An aged apostle says, keep going. Keep running. Keep strong. Keep standing. Don't give up. Wear the armor of truth and righteousness, clean living, free from sin.
Amen.
Standing together in the house of the Lord. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, the Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 1. So get clean, stay clean, and stand.
Amen.
A soldier's breastplate protected his chest from the enemy's attacks. Sanctified, righteous living guards your heart against the assaults of the devil. Guard your heart. Guard your heart against going cold. Guard your heart against error. Guard your heart from getting loose and casual about the body of Christ. The family of God is important to God. The church is God's idea. What does he say? I will build my
church.
Well, four of you said that with me. I will build my church. Church. Truth. Righteousness. Faith. Let me finish with a thought. You've heard it before. In the Greek, there was a word called teletestai. And it had three known uses in the Bible days. One was you'd go to a market and you'd buy your produce, you'd buy your goods. And when you paid for it, they would give you a bill of receipt. And it said, paid in full. Teletestai. And then there was another one. If you were a criminal and you were arrested and put in jail, they would put a written sheet up next to your jail cell where they would list and identify the crimes that you had committed. And when your time was done, they would take that sheet down right across it, scratch across it, hand it to you, and no one could ever dare accuse you of those things again. You could not be rearrested. You could not be retried. And the word was teletestai. And the third use was when a conquering general would go out to battle. And he would come home to the triumphant cheers of those who were calling out his name and giving him accolades. And he would march either before or behind his chariot those who were conquered enemies. And they would call out, teletestai! Teletestai! And it meant mission accomplished. And on the cross of Calvary, you all know, Jesus cried out finally, it is finished. Teletestai! Paid in full. Sentence served. Mission accomplished. Paul ministered for 2 years. Now I want you to listen carefully as I close. Paul ministered for 2 years. He wrote these epistles. He impacted the entire Praetorian Guard. We come to an abrupt conclusion in the book of Acts because most likely what happened is the Apostle Paul then, after 2 years, he couldn't be tried for a crime and they never got around to it and they set him free. And Paul began to minister again. And then he was rearrested for his faith. And you come to the end of his road in 2 Timothy where he says, Timothy, I want you to bring the cloak and bring my parchments and hurry. Come to me. Come quickly. Because my time is toward an end. I went to Rome. And one of the most important things to me was to have my guide, Pastor Paolo Tolini, who you know. I could go to the Colosseum. I could go to the Vatican, and I did. But I said, you know, there's one thing I kept kind of bringing it up. We didn't have long, but I said, does anybody know where Paul's jail was as he concluded his life? He looked at me and said, I know exactly where it is. It took me there. There's a fancy door that is now over the mouth of a cave hewn out of the rock. Nothing but rock. It's cold. It was dark. It was damp. And over at the side in this little space is a little pedestal with a statement where the Apostle Paul spent his last days. But a little jail cell in Rome couldn't kill a man's faith. A little jail cell in Rome couldn't squash and destroy a father in the Lord's or a mother in the Lord's heart for their children, of whom many of us are, for a father and mother in the Lord here this way.
That's right.
But couldn't kill that spirit that said, I want you to stand. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, I want you to stay sold out to Jesus, and I want you to run passionate white hot for the Lord. And I don't want you to fall in with the world, and I don't want you to let your heart grow cold, and I don't want you to think that error is truth, because there's a lot of garbage that's counterfeit in the world today. I don't want you to sell yourself out for pyrite, for fool's gold, when the real jewel in Jesus still shines in the Word of God and still shines in the body of Christ. I don't want you to give up. I want you to run the whole journey. And Paul could say, Timothy, come. For I have fought the fight, but Demas, go ahead and come on down. I said we'd get back to him, but look what he says about Demas. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. You see a man mentioned three times in the New Testament, the first as a beloved team member, the second with some distance, and the third with heartbreak on this father of the Lord's heart, where I have seen a son of the faith run back to the world. Let's make sure that's not us.
That's right.
Come on, how many, your name's not Demas this morning?
No.
Right? Turn to each other and say, your name's not Demas.
No.
Come on, say it to them. Your name ain't Demas. And what does he say as he concludes? I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Telotestai. It's finished. It's finished. The church, Paul is saying, I want you to stand in that way. So this can be your testimony as well. Say it with me as we read it out of the message. As Paul says, this is the only race worth running. I've run hard to the finish. Believe all the way. Truth and righteousness matter.
That's right.
Amen.
Stand with me. Musicians, will you come, please? Let's go back to the kid, man. How many are ready to say with me, Pastor Kevin, my heart is white hot for Jesus.
My heart is white hot for
Jesus. I want to run all the way with Him. I don't want to love the world. I don't want to love the things of the world. I'm sold out to Jesus. I can't promise you easy steps, church. Amen. I can't promise you an easy street. I can't promise you no conflict. I can't promise you that there'll never be any problem. And in fact, the apostle's heart is to understand. Spiritual battle is where it's at. But have victory, because He is the one who gives you truth and gives you righteousness. Amen. Father, we thank you that this day you are alive in us and we rejoice in your presence. We thank you, O God, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and that we've sold ourselves out to you. Thank you, Lord, for washing us clean by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the example of a father in the Lord who loved his kids enough to keep saying, keep going, keep standing, keep worshiping, keep growing. And such were some of us. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. And all the people said,
amen.
You're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you need to take time at the altars. We invite you to come. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray with you. We believe God does that. If you need to give your life to Jesus, if you've not fully surrendered, do that. We'll be honored to pray with you. But how many are glad to be saints who get to join in with the song and the throng say, blessed, honor, glory, and power.